Creepy. I'm Topher Graham.
I'm Ariel Hansen, and today we have a very special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself, or should we introduce you?
You can introduce me. I don't know how to introduce myself.
So this is Jordan Barnes Krause. He's worked with us on a number of films.
And we've worked with him on a number of films.
On literally, like, everything. We're pretty interconnected at this point.
Yes.
It's pretty great.
He's like an honorary cookie. Not even honorary, like a cookie.
He's a full-on cookie.
Full-on cookie. But he also has his own production company, Offworld Pictures.
They've just released their big thing onto the festivals, Time Heals No Wounds, which was a collaboration with us and Luchagor and Offworld all together.
And it's a sci-fi kind of film, so we thought it might be appropriate with the topic Jordan's brought today.
Yeah, sure, I guess so. I guess you could say I'm many things, but a UFOologist is not one of them. nevertheless, we're gonna talk about some UFOs.
Sweet.
Or UAPs, as
UAPs.
Investigators like to call them.
You'll have to explain this one to me.
It's an unidentified aerial phenomenon. So
okay.
So you yourself could be a UAP.
Ooh, I just need to do weird things in public.
Completely unexplainable. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like do one of those fill a jar of mayonnaise with vanilla pudding and just eating that.
That would be pretty
unexplained.
Yeah.
Oh, but also wearing like a black suit and my black fedora.
A little bit more unexplained, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try it sometime. Some performance art.
Yeah.
Some UAP performance art. Anyway, much as I love space and science fiction. And I do think it's absurd not to believe in extraterrestrial life.
I'm on the same page.
Yeah, there's just like, there's so much out there, it's ridiculous. So, you know, space is huge, and we just keep finding more and more evidence that the rest of space is pretty much like our corner of space. So the probability is pretty high, and if we don't find anything, that would be extremely strange. So, nevertheless, I'm pretty skeptical of the UFO scene. UFO UAP scene. Mainly because, you know, the caliber of consumer grade camera technology has really improved over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, as we've benefited from.
Yep. We have
many
like, smartphones, and everything is like completely accessible and instant. So what we're getting is not.
Yeah, it's probably not what people from the 80s and 90s hoped for. You know, I feel like this was like a really big thing back then, because I remember always seeing like specials on UFOs and
less ancient aliens, more
there was always
Bonnie
like
Hill.
Yeah, and it seems like that stuff has kind of died down a little bit, and I feel like the rise in consumer technology might play a part in that. So it's like the quality of the evidence that is coming forward is pretty much the same as it was before, and you're kind of like, why, you know, with all this technology available, are we still getting just like these grainy distant shots of things that it's like maybe that's something unusual, or maybe it's something completely mundane. Like, it's really hard to say.
It's like my favorite thing to be like, those can't be real, is orbs in photographs and stuff, when people are like, those are ghosts, and I'm
just some kind of phenomenon.
It's just dust.
Yeah.
Like, I work at an escape room, and so we have security cameras, and when it's dark in the room and stuff, if a dust particle happens to float in front of the camera, it creates an orb.
Okay, but to be fair, you're in historic Gastown, and...
Oh my god.
Maybe.
Not just there, I've seen it on other stuff too.
Okay, I just needed to put that out there.
Well, it's true, like, you know, a lot of the times the people who are presenting this stuff, they're not experts, they're not professionals, they're amateurs that are basically finding things that look unusual to them and presenting them to a whole bunch of amateurs who are, like, evaluating them. And you have people who, like, really want to have an experience.
Yeah.
And it's hard to convince them otherwise.
They want to believe.
Yeah.
I don't like this rhetoric that's coming out here.
You see, we brought on a guest who's on my side this time.
All right, good.
Mandy was a bit more on your side last time. We gotta even it out, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I have a good story though, don't worry.
Yeah, excellent.
And then also there's like, you know, a proliferation of recreational drones has skyrocketed in the last few years, and the number of UFO sightings has gone down. So, you know, it seems like maybe it's some kind of filter, I guess, that is filtering out all of this stuff that is easily explainable. Maybe our technology has gotten to the point where whatever once looked really strange, now people can see it's actually something really mundane. And other things, you know, like a drone, for instance, people would probably be more inclined to think it's that than something really weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to say what exactly is... what the correlation is there.
Aerial phenomenons are more easily explained nowadays.
Yeah.
We've also got the crowd-sharing information source of the internet,
yep.
So we can come at it from different points of views.
Yeah, it's like if we can solve crimes, we can figure out what some weird thing in the sky was one night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, on that note, you kind of wonder why more people aren't... people who actually really believe in this, why they aren't taking the initiative and investing in some half-decent equipment and going out and trying to see if they can find something, you know? Go out there and gather evidence and apply the scientific method and so on. But I'm happy to say that that's exactly what a group of people were doing in Squamish last summer.
Oh!
And lo and behold, they actually found something.
Oh! Mm-hmm. Ooh, this...
I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm hooked.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've come across a lot of stuff, and a lot of the time I can usually come up with explanations for these things, especially being, like, a photographer, a cinematographer. Like, there's, you know, there's all kinds of things, not even just atmospheric, but just aberrations that you can account for if you know what they are, if you've seen them before, and especially things that you don't want to have in your frame.
Yeah.
You know what they are, so... anyway, to preface, Squamish is about an hour away from us in Vancouver.
I've been there. They've got, like, cool mountains and...
I, too, have been there.
Yeah.
I've actually been somewhere.
Ariel has gone out of the city.
Yeah.
I love visiting Squamish. It's, like, it's super scenic. But as it turns out, it's actually a hotbed for UFO / UAP activity.
Hmm.
Yeah. And in February of last year... the RCMP got a call from a group of people who were reported watching a group of lights over Lions Bay for about 45 minutes. They said there was a bright light, completely silent, with three smaller green lights moving around quickly underneath of it. And then just vanished all of a sudden. So, reported it to the RCMP. I don't know why they didn't take any video. Or if
they were too in the moment.
Yeah,
they were just like...
those 45 moments... or maybe they tried and just looked really shitty. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I've tried to capture the moon and it just shows up as like a tiniest like dot.
Yeah, yeah. We've all had that experience where you're like, oh, wow, the moon looks incredible tonight and it looks like nothing.
Yep.
So, I really wanted to share this with my friends.
So, yeah, you know, like that might have something to do with it. They felt that the smaller lights appeared to be communicating with the larger light, but they didn't really elaborate on what that is.
Just a feeling, you know.
I guess just their movements, you know.
Okay.
I guess they just looked like they moved with purpose.
It wasn't like they were feeling it in their bones.
I don't think so. And after it was reported on Mountain FM, the local radio station in Squamish and Whistler, a few other people phoned in and said that they had seen something similar, but not that particular night. On other nights.
Oh.
Tourists.
Even the aliens just want to come here to see the mountains and leave.
Yeah.
They must be like Australians, you know?
if we do
Australians.
Find...
nice.
So that brings us to July 2017. Two field researchers, Rob Freeman and Marcus McNabb, were visiting Squamish from the Center for the Scientific Study of Atmospheric Anomalies in London, Ontario. They are currently working on a documentary and came to BC to interview Charles Lamoureux, a Vancouver-based skywatcher, astronomy enthusiast, and former skeptic, who is currently working on a four-year federally funded paranormal study with a geography professor at Simon Fraser University. And it's the first study of its kind. So
I'm also more inclined to listen to him since he is a former skeptic.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Former skeptic, current scientist.
I mean, it's cool that, like, Simon Fraser University is actually employing people to, or through the government, is employing people to actually investigate this. And they're going to present their findings to PhD students. So this is like a pretty legitimate study.
They're actually going to use scientific method and everything.
How long is this study? Will we
Four
get?
Years. Yeah. I don't know how far they're into it. Actually, you guys should like interview this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be...
That would actually be a good episode.
Yeah.
If you can get in touch, I'm sure they'd want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm curious what they've come across. But anyway, this geography professor is researching all kinds of aspects of the paranormal, including ghosts and Sasquatch. And Charles Lemereau is doing like the UFO UAP side.
Okay.
So he himself has captured a number of sightings on video around the lower mainland, uploads them to YouTube, claims to have encountered orbs of light that appear to move with purpose, seem to be curious about people, vary in color and range in size from about a golf ball to a beach ball, sometimes changing size while being observed.
Now, and how close or far away are they? Because, like, it's hard to estimate how big a light is.
It's true, yeah. I was listening to an interview with him where he said he actually encountered one from his balcony in downtown Vancouver, which is super weird.
Nice.
Whoa.
He says, actually, that a lot of his videos are taken from downtown Vancouver. And he's like, a lot of people think that UFO activity happens in remote places, but Vancouver is, like, a hot spot.
Tourists.
So.
Well, and also, like, from a people not believing it kind of perspective, if something happens in the city, they're more likely to be like, it's just some light.
Yeah.
Could be any number of things. The city is a wild and infinite place.
And also we have a port right there, so it's like it could be a light from a ship, who knows what. A drone.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
If I was an alien, I'd probably want to see Granville too.
The Granville Strip, just like an alien going there, partying.
There's so many neon lights.
Yeah, and the fact they're so small, it kind of reminds me of that movie Batteries Not Included. Did you ever watch that one?
I didn't, but I remember you telling me about it once.
I don't know, I loved this movie when I was a kid. Like, it was basically these, like, tiny spaceships visit these people who are, like, holding out in this one building in Manhattan, and they refuse to vacate this building, and these developers want to tear it down and build a skyscraper or something. And these tiny little, like, spaceships come and visit them, and they... you know, help them in their day-to-day life. And it's like this heartwarming, you know, family science fiction film from the 80s.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, most of the time you think of UFOs as being like something large or something that people could fit inside.
Well, it would make sense that it would be something small, because, like, if you think of our current exploration of really far away from Earth areas, we're sending like little probes. We're not sending a big ship full of people for first investigations.
No. That's true. It would make a lot more sense to send smaller things.
Just to take pictures.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's one project that they're working on that, like, the apparatus to make it travel is really big, but then the actual thing itself is super small.
Breakthrough Starshot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are, like, little smartphone-sized probes that they want to accelerate to about 20-25% the speed of light. Send them to Proxima Centauri. It would take them about 20 or 30 years to get there, and then like 5 or 10 years to get the data back.
Oh my god, I want them to do it ASAP.
Yeah.
I want this to happen in our lifetime.
It might, yeah. So that's pretty exciting, and that's like on the horizon for us. So, you know, maybe that's something that somebody else could be doing elsewhere. Another factor that I like to think about is how long it takes light to travel through space. And so it's one of those things where it's like, well, you know, the probability of there being all this life in space seems to be really high, and yet we're observing absolutely nothing. But it also takes millions of years for light to reach us. And a million years ago, there were no humans that we could recognize on Earth. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? They could be out there. They could be pretty close, and, you know, it would take us a while if we could even recognize what they are. And, you know, they might just appear to be some kind of natural phenomenon. There's so many, like, other explanations.
Like, maybe life on that planet developed literally the exact same moment life did here, so they're also not developed far enough to...
That would be crazy if we, like, met up at exactly the same stage of development.
My favorite depiction of aliens has always been, like, evolution. That movie where it's, like, they're animals, they're wild animals that have gone in so many different directions that, like, human doesn't even play into it.
Yeah.
I really like the series The Expanse.
Yeah.
Oh,
we need to get back to that.
Colin and I just finished the third season, It was canceled, but now it's been picked up by Amazon. So fourth season's going to be on Amazon Prime. And it's like the first season has some really good hard science. And then they start to introduce some more far out sci-fi elements, but they still keep a lot of the hard science in terms of like space travel.
It can be pretty grounded.
What are the aliens like in there?
I don't want to spoil anything because I'd have to get into it a lot. It's complicated.
Okay.
I'll tell you after.
Oh man, imagine if other aliens had horror movies. What would their horror movies be like?
Oh my gosh. But imagine if like sci-fi horror was a subgenre for aliens.
Oh, wow.
And then they happened to make a film where the monsters looked like us.
Yeah.
After really not too far off.
So this is the most popular movie on our planet, and it's like their version of Alien.
Yeah, and but... then and then it turns out that they look like the aliens, but they're not like evil. They look just like xenomorphs, but they're like chill.
Aww. Yeah. All right, back on topic here. So Charles Lamoureux suggested Rob Freeman, Marcus McNabb visit Squamish, where such orbs have frequently been reported. So while the two were at Britannia Beach, a local there recommended that they check out the Stowamus Chief for that particular reason. So the Stowamus Chief is a sacred mountain to the Squamish people. It has a history of many paranormal events, including Sasquatch sightings. And according to the Squamish folklore, it's believed to be a longhouse turned to stone by the Zays. There's an accent on the A's. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. Spirit beings known as the Transformers. Yeah, or Transformer Brothers.
Oh. To be fair, in all the Michael Bay movies, there are no female Transformers.
Really?
Yeah.
What about RC? There's no RC?
No.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's like five of those movies.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the closest is like that weird shape-shifting one that turns into a sexy lady and seduces Shia LaBeouf. That's it.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe Paramount let that go for five movies.
It's like, apparently the script for the first Transformers was like, Megan Fox's character, if you like look at her dialogue and her character itself, it's actually like a really good female character.
Oh, you watched those Lindsay Ellis
videos. Yes, I did watch those Lindsay Ellis videos. Yeah, and
on paper, she's a good character.
Yeah, but then it's just how Michael Bay framed everything. Turned her into an object.
Yeah, he just doesn't get it.
I feel so bad for Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Back to aliens.
So the Transformer Brothers, the cleft in the cliff face is said to have been cut by the corrosive skin of the Sinuca, or sea sootle. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong as well. A giant two-headed sea serpent, one head on each end.
Ooh.
And with the face of a humanoid in the middle of its body. So sea sootle is believed to be a size-changing shapeshifter whose slime could kill on contact. So I think indigenous mythological creatures are pretty rad.
Pretty detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why we keep recycling the same monsters over and over again. Like, we got to look into some of this folklore because that's cool.
We need to get like a consultant so that we can use the ideas without disrespecting them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things like, anyway.
Yeah.
That could be a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah.
So in addition to being the god of warrior invincibility, it was also the guardian of the House of the Sky people.
Oh.
So, yeah. So on July 22nd, 2017, Rob Freeman and Marcus McNabb set out into the forest with a number of cameras and night imaging equipment, which they dubbed the Weapon of Mass Detection. And I'll show you, it's in the video. Around 11 p.m., after about 8 hours, one of them spotted something moving silently across the sky. Freeman was able to turn on one of the night vision cameras just in time and capture a few seconds of video. I'll show you guys the video here. So this is the rig they have set up. So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, invest in some stuff, go out there, and look for these things where people say they're happening.
And then I also like how they're filming their own rig, too. So it's like, nope, we're not adding things in post.
It's a real scientific method.
Although you don't actually get to see like what all these are doing, because basically they only had enough time to get a few seconds of video. They're out there for 8 hours, so you know, you can imagine how many batteries you're gonna go through in 8 hours. At some point you gotta be like, all right, well, we gotta turn these off and wait, and then turn them on when something seems to be happening.
Currently here in Squamish, BC, and that's the rock,
that's the chief.
They call it the chief. Mm-hmm. Got all the the WMD weapon of mass detection set up. I don't have the night vision on yet because it's too light. Breslin's over there checking things out. Marcus and Liz are very comfortable here.
Way too comfortable, drive-in theater style.
Yep. And I've got the cameras going. I'm doing some time lapse. Stuff has been seen over the mountain, and we're hoping to see some stuff tonight. We'll be out till quite late.
Yeah, so check this out.
Look at
it. Wow.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. That's going in front of the mountain, but behind the tree?
No, it went into the trees.
Oh, wow.
It's in the woods.
Yeah. Huh. I'm getting a crazy glow where it is on the night vision.
Okay, I've lost it now, but I got it.
Wow.
Could have been an airplane, but I don't think so.
No.
That did not look like him.
No.
Airplanes would not go into the trees like that.
No.
Okay, let's play
safely.
Back.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we go through this like frame by frame here.
Yeah.
So you can see.
Oh.
I don't know if I can actually play through it, but just watch it again. You can see it goes like in between the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it like illuminates the trees properly.
Yeah.
It's in the woods.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa.
I'm getting a crazy glow where it is.
So that's one of the strangest things that I've ever seen. As far
yeah.
as UFO, UAP videos are concerned. And that was one thing that this interviewer I was listening to with Charles Lamoureux was saying. He's like, a picture could be anything, but like video is where it's at. So he's really like
yeah.
encouraging people to take more video and invest in like better video equipment and see what this is
and
all
capture
about.
Capture
it,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you can see like compared to the size of the trees, it looks pretty large. Hard to say exactly. Maybe the size of a car or like
yeah.
a van or something.
Bigger than a person.
Yeah.
yeah.
But smaller than a plane.
Which particularly for these orbs is like... is pretty big. So yeah, a lot of the time people can't really determine how big they are, but here you have like an actual reference for its scale.
Yeah. So send me the link and I'm gonna put the link in the description for this video so people can
okay.
watch it for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, people should definitely check it out.
Yeah, hearing us talk about it, it's not as impactful as watching it.
It's a piece of evidence and us going wow to it.
Yeah.
That's gonna be your evidence for aliens.
Yeah. So, yeah, it descends into along a straight trajectory and disappears. So, Freeman and McNabb later confirmed with YVR that there are no aircraft on any routes in the area and that it was not a plane, drone, satellite, or meteor. So, it's hard to really explain what that is, but there are a few theories.
Okay.
And I'll present to you the one that sounds the most likely
yep.
from my point of view.
All right.
But it still doesn't fit all the facts. So, but one possibility is it's an earthquake light, which is also a very bizarre phenomenon. Basically, they're flashes of electricity that occur along rifts around fault lines. And they can take the form of bluish flames erupting from the ground, which would be terrifying. Ball lightning that floats in the air and lasts
okay,
for tens of seconds or even minutes.
That's the closest to that one, I guess.
Yep. Or flashes of light resembling a lightning strike, but coming from the ground.
Whoa.
That would also be terrifying.
Yeah.
They usually occur around near vertical faults that stretch deep into the Earth's magma, allowing magmatic rocks to migrate closer to Earth's surface. And because of the crystal structure of these rocks, it's believed they can generate electricity when stressed, which then flows to the surface and ionizes in the air, producing flashes of light. Now, while the Chief is a nearly vertical cliff, it's not a rift in the Earth, and seismologists claim these lights are unlikely to occur in subduction zones, like the Juan de Fuca plate that southern BC sits on.
Mm.
So it doesn't fit all the facts.
I mean, it was so smooth and slow moving.
Yeah.
yeah. You'd figure something like that would be like a spark, just kind of like maybe wavering like erratically.
Yeah.
yeah.
It wouldn't just like go along a straight line. I think that's the thing, like, you know, like these people, they describe, they say, like, these things seem to move with purpose when you're watching them. And that's what differentiates them and makes people think that there's some kind of intelligence behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, who knows? And another thing I like about these investigators is they don't jump to any conclusions about what they are. That's why they prefer the term unidentified aerial phenomenon, because...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a UFO has too much connotation behind it, and they're just like, we don't know what it is, we just
we're
can't
open
explain.
To all explanations, not just
yeah.
aliens.
Yeah, yeah. So who knows? It could be something perfectly natural, or it could be aliens, or something else that people aren't even thinking about. You know,
yeah.
ghosts.
Could also be ghosts.
Demons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like any conspiracy theory or paranormal event, like there's, just because something looks a certain way doesn't mean it is that way. There could be countless other perfectly logical explanations for it that you're not considering because it just looks like it's obviously what you think
yeah.
it is. But
the world is infinite and anything can happen.
Yeah. So, you know, the fact that this happened last year, I think, is kind of cool. It's not like some kind of long forgotten case where people are just like, oh yeah, did you hear about that? That was weird. This is like an ongoing thing.
We can look the person up who's doing the research.
Yeah, you can probably talk to these
people. 4-year government funded study.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this is just like the latest in a long trend of, you know, leads that go nowhere. Or it could be like part of a new cycle of better UFO UAP detection.
Even just like better paranormal investigation in general.
Yeah. I love the idea of scientifically investigating the paranormal. You know, as long as you're not doing it in like a ghost hunter's kind of way.
Yeah, you're not like, did you hear that?
Yeah. It's like science is often like a pretty mundane thing.
Yeah.
So people who are actually willing to like go through that process and maybe turn up some like not that sensational results, but that could lead to the next breakthrough. That's interesting to me. So
yeah.
I guess the question is, would you guys be willing to go on a camping trip to Squamish?
Yeah.
For
some night?
Yes.
Of course I would.
We could do a special episode.
Ooh, in the woods?
Yeah.
On the Chief?
And there's lots to talk about in Squamish.
Yes. If you want to do a camping trip.
I am totally in. Camping
trip. Hopefully we don't run into any slime melting.
No deadly slime monsters.
Sasquatches.
Yeah. This actually reminds me, I'd forgotten about this, but last week we talked about the foot hoaxes.
Yeah.
So I had a teacher, it was one of two really cool teachers I had, either Mr. Barnes or Mr. Schwab. I can't remember which one, but one of them, when they were a kid, they actually did a UFO hoax.
Oh yeah.
And like it made local
papers
and stuff.
That'd be a fun project.
Yeah, so they like put a ring of candles on something and then they had some sort of apparatus above it so that the heat from the candles made it float.
Oh yeah.
And then people were taking pictures and getting freaked out in this small town area.
Yeah, well that's the thing, you know, it's like it's not necessarily the people who are making or people who are capturing the evidence that could be the hoaxsters.
Yeah.
Could be other people. It's really, yeah, you know, there's a million explanations for these things.
Because people just like to mess with stuff. And
yeah.
But at the same time, it could be multi-dimensional, like, time-traveling aliens.
Could be high strangeness, because, you know, a lot of places where there's UFOs, Sasquatch sightings also happen, as well as other cryptids.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know.
They really missed that boat with the Cloverfield movies.
Yeah, I mean, so I listened to last podcast on the left, and Henry Zabrowski, one of the guys who's one of the hosts, he's got this whole theory that he, like, talks about almost every episode where those kinds of things are mentioned. It is its own episode, so we won't get into it, but let's just say there's a lot of interconnected things.
Yeah.
Sort of like how we talked about Aleister Crowley doing the ritual and then lots of Loch Ness monster sightings.
See? I think that's incredible.
That'd be weird if, like, that turned out to be the missing link.
It's like
every weird thing on Earth was
after
Aleister
that
Crowley.
Point. After that point. Yeah. Okay. So what was really weird was the week we released that episode.
Yeah.
They also released an episode that talked about Aleister Crowley a ton, and then the connection to L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons.
Oh man.
So that was, I was listening to that, knowing what we'd released that week, and I was just like, oh my god, this is too similar. Yet completely unconnected, because we record 3 weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm.
The world is infinite.
Yeah.
Everything that can happen does happen.
Collective consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's no, like, rational explanation for it, but I think everybody's had experiences like that. So, you know, everybody has evidence for it. There's just no explanation.
All we can say is it's a coincidence.
Yeah. You know, apparently, like, in terms of probability, like, these things are kind of bound to happen. They tend to happen when you're when you're dealing with a world as complicated as ours, these really weird coincidences just come up. And it's just like a probability anomaly that we attribute a lot of meaning to because they're important to us. But if you're looking at it objectively, it's just kind of like, bleh, whatever.
Of course.
But I mean, me personally, like one of the weirdest things that ever happened to me was a case where I don't know if I have time to get into this. Right? It's not really on topic.
That's okay. Yeah. We go off topic a lot. Yeah. We talk about alcohol.
Yeah.
All right. Well, basically, when I was a kid, I used to have this videotape, and it was like a bunch of these old Merry Melodies cartoons.
Well, from like
the
those.
Yeah, they sold them at dollar stores, and they usually had like four of them on a videotape. And so I had one. It was called Robin Hood, and it was like these squirrels playing Robin Hood, and it had a few others on there. And this videotape was so cheap that it didn't even have the title on the video itself. It had a sticker that said title and like a blank field. So I wrote the title in myself with my like little like 4 or 5 year old handwriting Robin Hood. And so, you know, I loved this video when I was a kid and then forgot about it and eventually sold it at a garage sale. And then years and years later, I was like 16 and I was at a Value Village in Toronto where I lived at the time. So,
okay.
But, you know, I was just like looking at some pants, some jeans, and all of a sudden just the memory of this video just flashed in my mind. And I was like, I wonder if it's here. And I just walked over to the video section and I didn't even look for it. I just walked right up to the shelf and just like pulled it out. And it was the same video and I pulled out the video cassette and my handwriting was on it.
Oh my gosh.
And I was just so stunned. Like I went to the cashier and I was like trying to tell her the story and she was like, yeah, whatever, it's $2. So, I mean, I'm sure they get all kinds of people in there. Yeah. So anyway,
this
bought
was
the
my
video.
Wedding ring.
Bought the video back and, you know, I still have it. It's just like, it's just one of those really weird things that happened to me. And so last year, I came across this Vox video that was all about these kind of statistical anomalies and basically how a mathematician would look at something like synchronicity and explaining how mathematically these coincidences tend to happen in real life. And they seem really freaky, but they're actually kind of mundane. And the story they used to illustrate this was about a woman who had sold a book when she was younger and then discovered it again at a market like years and years later in another town. And I was like, what? Like, that's the same thing that happened to me. I'm like, and that's happening like in a video talking about how these things like
mathematically it's just
it's
day.
Like yeah it, so it's like either it's so common or but I just like can't wrap my head around the probability of that. It just seems like way too astronomical. So I don't know, it's ongoing. I feel like, and that's probably one of the examples that I can recite better off the top of my head, but I think everybody's had experiences like that and they're just like, whoa, like, you know, it's just like, it's so profound to you, but really hard to kind of convey to anybody else. So maybe it's nothing, maybe it's pure probability, or there's some kind of underlying factors going on that we're not aware of.
Aliens.
Aliens.
But I've never seen a UFO.
Or a UAP.
Or a UAP. And I've lived in Vancouver 10 years, and this is like the UFO hotspot of Canada.
Well, now we just need to take a camping trip.
Yeah,
you're in the wrong place. You gotta be, well, at least like downtown Vancouver, where all the aliens are like touring around.
Near the water.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we gotta get high up, and we need like infrared cameras and all this kind of stuff.
Anyways, so if people wanted to find you on social media, how can they do that?
Well, I'm on Twitter and Instagram, jbc.mov. On Instagram, that's jbc.mov. On Twitter, it's jbcdotmov. Yeah, those are probably the places where I'm the most active.
And what about Offworld Pictures?
Offworld Pictures, twitter.com/offworldpics, P-I-C-S. And Instagram.com/offworldpictures. And we have a website, offworldpictures.com.
And do you have anything upcoming from Offworld Pictures that you'd like to plug?
I guess just keep an eye out for Time Heals No Wounds on the festival circuit. Its next local screening in Vancouver will be at Cinema Fantastique 4 at the Van City Theatre. That's August 25th.
Yeah.
You guys will also be there.
Well, for two films. So.
We're there with Paint the Town Red, which yeah. Jordan was also quite a big help on.
Yeah.
Cool. It'll be a fun screening.
Yep.
And there's some other festivals on the horizon that I can't really talk about yet. So, but yeah, if there's a genre festival in your neck of the woods, maybe keep an eye out for it. It might be there. And if you keep track of Offworld Pictures on social media, we'll announce it.
Cool. If you want to catch anything Bad Cookie Pictures on all the social media, you just look that up. You're good to go. You can find us on Patreon, which we've got a link in the description. We'll also put a link to the Offworld Pictures website, so you can check that out through the description in there.
As well as the video that
yes.
we were watching in the video will
yes.
be in our description.
Yeah, and then me personally, you want to look up Ariel, look up Hansen's Horror on all the social media.
And I'll be Sneezing Wolf, but just find me on Instagram.
Yeah.
Really.
That's it. Okay, so if there's nothing else, I guess this is the end of the episode.
Stay creepy.
Yeah, stay creepy.